above all. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He is now above all. Amen? And he has thought of you above all, and now he is above all, above every name that is named. And we have this living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. My Jesus is not dead anymore. They physically slaughtered him. He took on the second death of God himself. All the wrath of God was poured into him. The bonds of death came around him, and yet my Jesus is alive. And because of that, we have a living hope today, amen? I'm going to ask you to join me in prayer. And I want you to wrestle for something in this next few minutes. I want you to wrestle intentionally for an eternal weight of glory in you right now. You pray. Father, your word says that our faith even now is tested and will be tested by the fire that proceeds from Jesus Christ. And God, I pray that in this moment, what we are doing now, what we're pouring out to you that's coming from our hearts, but coming from Jesus in our hearts, God, may it be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You will reveal every heart here and what is happening in every heart here, and you will reveal whether it is bringing you honor. You will reveal whether it is bringing you glory. You will reveal if the power of God is in this, and the praise of God will come from it. And God, we come before you now. We pray, God, that you would use us as instruments of righteousness as your holy habitation gathers together. May we do it in Christ, in his power, in his presence. Bring glory in this house. God, may you take every heart that doesn't know you today, and may they see Jesus. May they hear your word and come gloriously into the kingdom. Every soul that needs to drink of your presence, everybody here that needs to be healed, every single person that needs to hear, God, may your kingdom prevail in this that is around your throne today in heaven. And we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, title of this message is called Joy of Christmas, and you know, last week I got the privilege of preaching on the spirit of Christmas. And, you know, I just want to just remind us that if you were to take the name itself, Christmas, it comes from the obvious Christ, Messiah. The Mass has some different history, but literally it just, the Messiah given. And when we know what it is to receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, to walk in the miracle of the gift of Jesus. We know that God gave us Christ, and of course there's so many things we could go back to. Christ was in operation when he breathed creation into existence. But Emmanuel, God with us, that particular work of grace is Christ crucified. He came as a lamb, and then he was slain for us. And so we look at Christmas past, we look at the reason that his birth is celebrated is because of the grace of the miracle of Christ crucified. And then last week we visited Christmas present, and it's the miracle of Christ given to us today, the Christ present in us. Crazy miracle. Sometimes we don't appreciate that enough. Christ is in you. You are the temple of the living God, and Christ is in you. Crazy miracle. But the Christmas spirit that I think God wants us to tap into more, by the way, you can never, ever put down Christ crucified or the miracle of Christ in you, right? You can continue for your whole life to just worship right there. But there's an energy of God about the, as Piper would put it, the future grace. The next great gift of Jesus Christ to us. Christmas future. The scripture says that all of creation is, in the Greek, the picture is stretching its neck. All of creation is in earnest expectation, eagerly waiting for the revelation, the revealing, the apocalypto of the sons of God. All of creation is energized by the great next in which you are going to enter into. And it's going to start with the revelation of the miracle of who you are and what Christ has done in you. We're going to look at that today. All of creation is filled with the energy of expectation. And I want to submit to you that the reason there's so much energy in the trees and the rocks and the hills and the stars, if they could speak to you, they would speak that. The reason the energy is there is obvious, because it comes from who? It comes from God. Sad to me to think that the only part of creation that's not so excited about that, sometimes it's us. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. What's coming, and I want to remind you, this is all review from last week before we jump into the joy, that what's coming to you is so beautiful that you're going to have to be completely changed to even look on it. This mortal must put on immortality. The natural body must be raised up a spiritual body. This corruption must be raised incorruptible. This weak flesh of mine's got to be raised in power. This body, which was sown in dishonor, will be raised in glory. Why do I need all that different transformation? Because flesh and blood cannot what? Inherit the kingdom of God. As much as he loves you, he's got to change you just to give you the great next. And we will be changed. We will be changed. Soon and very soon, you are going to be made like Jesus. Oh, what love God has for you. And it is from that energy of the eternal and what's next that we see another holy gift of God. It's a gift given to you right now. And it's the title of this message: what is Christmas joy? What is the joy of Christmas? What is this gift that God wants to give to you today? And just like that passage in 1 Corinthians 2, which I quoted, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have ever entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared, we're going to look at this passage in 1 Peter, and it's going to say it's a joy inexpressible. So we're going to stop and pray, because these words, left by themselves, won't touch it. But the Spirit of God can. Father God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, God, that there is a joy inexpressible and full of glory. It is a joy of the Holy Spirit. It is a joy not seen or experienced or received any other place in the world, but we can receive it from you. And God, I pray today that you would open up this gift to us, that we as a people would know the strength of that joy, and we would walk in the miracle of that joy. And God, I pray today that you would infuse us with that, and we would have a huge sense of celebrating it. And God, if there's anybody here today that doesn't know that or is away from that and shut off from that, God, I pray today you would make them alive to it. And we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1. This joy, first of all, just chapter 1, verse 1, it's given to pilgrims, to the pilgrims of the dispersion. And he mentions all these different places. These people have paid a price for following Christ, and now they're just scattered. This joy is for pilgrims. It's not, yeah. If you are on the narrow path of following Christ, you have paid a price already. This joy is for you. You are the elect. You are the chosen of God according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, and you are in this process of sanctification of the Spirit. The Spirit of God in you is sanctifying you and fashioning you into the image of Jesus Christ for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. There's a message in every single word there, and it's all part of the miraculous thing that you are indeed a child of the living God. And he goes on to say that. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We are blessed, amen, and we bless him because we are born again. We have been begotten, born from above into the kingdom of God. I'm a child of God. And that gives me what? It gives me joy. He starts, by the way, I don't think you can separate this concept of hope from joy. Hope is a confident expectation, but often in the circles in which I grew up spiritually, we didn't have any joy. It's like, I know it's going to happen, but I'm not very happy about it. Dude, that's not hope. I don't know what it is, but it's not biblical hope. You have to have confident expectation, but there is infused in you a joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's a joy in you that just, I mean, it is the energy of God. It is profoundly energizing. You know it. You know it. And you rejoice in it. You have a living hope. He uses this phrase here, a living hope. I have a living hope because I have a living Savior. Amen? He's alive. He's alive. And he's not just wisdom. He's not just a help. He's alive. And he's alive in me if Christ has become your Lord. And he lives in me. And he is in me. And this hope is not based on a text, although you can't go wrong studying the Word of God, but you're meant to meet Jesus there. He's alive. He was dead. He was more dead than you could. So my mic just went dead. That was an illustration. That was to set up. And now it's been resurrected. We'll see how quickly it does that. Christ in me is so alive. And what are we? His witnesses. What do? We tell the story. I was dead, and now I'm alive. I'm alive because of the miracle of Jesus Christ in me. And I'm alive from the dead. And now I'm alive to something, verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away. And it's reserved in heaven for you. Christmas future. Tap into that. You know how excited God is to reveal to you your great next? Oh, baby. Oh, baby. And I mentioned this last week. You know, it's been a really long time since I looked forward to Christmas to see what I would get. It's been like maybe, I'm 60, so maybe 58 years or so. Seriously. No, maybe I might have looked forward to it for a little while when I was little, but not very long into that. I started, even as a little child, making things. Like, parents, you know what it's like. You get that gift from your child, and it's like, oh. Such a cool tie made of burlap and some, yeah, oh, so cool. Thank you. What is that child expressing? The Christmas spirit, the heart of God, Christ, mass Christ given. He's experiencing the joy of giving. And that's what he's saying. There's this, it's reserved in heaven for you. He can't wait to show it to you. And those of you, who are you? You are kept by the power of God. That means protected. He is jealous over you. He loves you, and he thought of you above all. And he's invested so much in you. The great next he has for you, he is preparing for you. He's so excited about what he has for you. And he's keeping it for you by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be apocalypto in the last time. There is an apocalypse coming. And I know there's a lot of end time stuff out there, and a lot of people are talking about end time stuff and the idea of this great apocalypse and all the end time stuff and the tribulation period and all that. Dude, your greatest next that you need to worry about is not how God's going to do all that. Your great next is your unveiling. It's going to come by fire. I do it this way because he's literally going to burn off any veil, anything you've trying to hide, and the apocalypse is coming. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for that? I heard a preacher this week on the radio. I never listen, hardly ever listen to the radio. But I was listening to it this week, and he was talking about this theater. He said, what if you walked into a movie theater, and it was this private showing, and you sat down, you're the only one in the whole theater, and up on the screen popped your life. Every deed you'd ever done, every word you'd ever said, and into your horror, every thought and image that crossed your mind. Whoop. You'd be like, whoa, sure glad I'm here alone. And then you're in the dark thing, and all of a sudden light pops into the room, and people start flooding in, and flooding in, and flooding in. And then it's everybody. And they're all seated there, and someone pushes replay, and the whole thing comes up again in front of everybody. Every deed, every word spoken, every thought and image that's ever been in your mind. That's part of your apocalypse that's coming. That's why he uses the word apocalypto. It's going to be, oh, boom. Right? But how are you looking forward to that? Some of you got this idea, well, love covers a multitude of sins. He got me covered. He don't remember nothing about what I did because I pointed that verse out to him. So I'm going to walk in there and whoop, he's got it all wiped clean. He's just going to show Jesus up on the screen because that's all that matters. All I can say is nice try. It's not what Scripture says. In light of your apocalypto, do you have joy? Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. You're ready. You're ready for this apocalypto. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now you're going through trials. Are you rejoicing because you know that the trials you're going through are actually working for you, as the Apostle Paul says, an eternal weight of glory? You know that the trials and the fires and the things that hurt you and the things that are difficult are going to come to, in the end, benefit you for all eternity. That's what he goes on to say. Being much more precious than gold that perishes through this fire, it is tested by fire, may be found, praise God, at the apocalypto. He's going to make known through the revelation of the works of Christ in you. And what that's going to result in is praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I love that, because what it's showing there is it's your revelation of your life that's being revealed, but what's it showing? What Christ is doing and has done through you. And every single breath in Christ, every single time you prayed, every single time you took on his heart, every single time you gave a cup of water in his name, every single time you spoke life to someone, it's going to be to the praise and the honor and the glory of Jesus Christ. It's going to explode. It's going to reverberate enough that it's going to have that impact forever and forever of the glory of God. I mean, it's going to explode in glory. And that's why he said, whom having not seen you love, yet you do not see him. Yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. It is in the context of your revelation and an understanding that when the next great gift of Jesus Christ comes to you, it's going to come to you right after your apocalypse, right after the revelation of what Christ has done through you. And you're going to rejoice because your life had an eternal weight of glory. If, right? Having not seen, you love him. Two key words there. You love him and you believe. Faith. You love him. What's that mean? For God so loved the world, he gave. What's that mean? You give your life to him. And then you walk in faith.
The good news, when you do that, you can look forward to your apocalypse. Now, I share that with you today because we're spending a little more time thinking about that. But here's the thing. Is not Christmas joy usually sold? Is it not usually peddled as the type of joy you get when you get, right? When you receive. The posture of receiving joy is not this big funnel poured into me. The posture of the joy that he wants to give you that comes from him is this. What's this? It's a cross. It's the posture of the cross. It's when you learn to give. I had a talk with a young man this week that I love very much, and he was talking about the hungers in his heart to have joy, the hungers in his heart to be accepted, the hungers in his heart because he's lonely. And he was getting a kick out of being around the wrong crowd, right? And we talked about how intoxicating that is because it makes you feel what? Alive and good and important, and it makes you feel all those things, okay? But what's the truth is that that young man needs to learn to find joy where? In the giving, in the deeper things, in the sacrifice. Because if you're going to continue to look and find relationships with other young men and other things in life, drugs, whatever it is, and they make you feel good because you're taking those things in, listen, you're never going to get enough to fill that void. But you're going to find what it is. He that will lose his life for my sake will find what? Life. And that life what? Abundantly. We find that joy is really found, not in the getting, but in the giving. So you know somebody grumpy? How many know somebody grumpy? Okay, they don't need to get more. What do they need to do? Buy them a box of nails. Say, dude, start pounding these right where they need to go. And if you need me to suggest a place, I could suggest a few, okay? You don't need this. You need nails. If you want to raise happy children, don't teach them to be happy because of what they get. Teach them the joy of giving because that will never be taken away. And when we come before Jesus Christ and what is revealed in us is every time as a living sacrifice we gave ourselves for him, we're rejoicing in that, right? Because he alone can do that kind of love through us. But when he does it, awake to righteousness. Awake to the privilege of doing that perfect thing called love. Awake to the miracle of walking in Jesus Christ. And you'll know what it is to look forward to the day. You'll look forward to the day when Jesus Christ is revealed in all his glory that he's done through you. There's not a single day that you took up the nails of Jesus Christ in which he's going to forget. It's all going to reverberate and explode with the glory of God. Are you looking forward to that day? Because if you're living a selfish life and it's about you getting, you cannot hold any of that. It's all going to be lost. There's no joy that remains. I want to ask you, when the fiery trial comes in your life, is your response to it, is it going to bring honor to the Lord on the day in which you're revealed? When the fiery trial comes in your life, is it going to bring praise to God that's going to reverberate for all eternity because of how you responded to your trial? You lifted up on the nails, and when you bled clean. You bled the love of Jesus and the mercy of God, and you forgave somebody that hurt you. When the fiery trials come and you're tired and you don't want to continue, but yet you stay in and you stay loving and you stay giving, is your response going to bring glory to God? Yes. But when you quit, I heard an old preacher say this one time. Forgive me for this dad joke, but I have to say it. He said, yep, a lot of fire in ministry, yep, lots of fire. If you go halfway through and quit, that just means you're half-baked. And then he said this, and if you go all the way through the trial, that means you're what? Well done. Very good. You guys are sharp. I want to be well done, don't you? Amen. I thought about the context of joy here. By the way, just a little further context. How many of you have heard from the Lord definitively? You heard his voice as clear as day, and you know it was the Lord, and he told you that you're going to die. You're going to be taken captive, you're going to be bound, and you're going to die. You're going to be martyred for Jesus. How many people have been told that? Raise your hand. I don't see a single person here. Good, because I wouldn't believe you. So, Peter was told that. So he knew at the end of his life was going to be what? Pain and suffering, and he was going to be killed. And if you read the book of 1 Peter, you're going to realize that most people call it a book whose theme is suffering. And if you read it, there's a lot of different ways in which he's sharing personally, and he's advising us on how to endure suffering. So it's some people think it's the whole theme. So he has this suffering in life is my whole point. He knows he's going to end in suffering, and he's the man that said, I have joy inexpressible and full of glory. I love that. But I want to share with you today that this joy is something that you won't find anywhere doing this. You're only going to find it this way. To press another analogy that is probably silly, is this time of the year, my wife spends a lot of money. And so I look at her and I say, listen, money doesn't grow on trees. Heavy sigh. But you know what does grow on trees? Joy. You got to find the right tree. Amen? Let me show you that. Galatians chapter 5. This fruits of the Spirit here is really the gift of Jesus Christ to us, amen? Because it's a singular spirit, because it comes from a singular person. It comes from Jesus Christ, Galatians chapter 5. So it's the gift of Jesus Christ in us, right? Okay, we read this all the time. The fruit of the Spirit, 5:22, is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness. By the way, when life happens, trials happens, and what is exposed is the love of Christ, the joy of Christ, the peace of Christ. What is exposed is the long-suffering of Christ, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, the self-control of Christ. Against such there is no law. And when trials happen, and this is what happens, Jesus happens. Amen? Okay, but here's how that happens. What's the next verse say? And those who have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires, okay? Those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Those who have the miracle of Christ in them have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires. They have crucified your flesh. You've done violence with your flesh. You know where the love comes from? On my tree. You know where the joy comes from? On my tree. You know where the peace comes from? When I have surrendered my life to Jesus Christ and I continue to give it to him and there's no longer a battle. Every morning I get up and say, Lord, it's yours. It's not mine. What am I doing? The peace of God rules in me. There's no longer a fight. The miracle of Jesus Christ happens when you choose the nails. Where's Christmas joy? Where are you going to get that? Right there. Jesus said to these words, he said, I tell you these words that your joy may be full, that my joy will remain in you. He said those words in John 15. He said that, right? But what words had he just told them? It's a sandwich. Above, he tells them that you got to obey the command to love the brethren. Below, he tells them to obey the command to love the brethren. And then he tells them what? It's going to cost you your what? Your life. Do you know why so many people don't have joy? They're commanded to lay down their life in the body of Christ and love one another and keep doing it. What happens when they get offended in church? They leave. They don't stay in. They fold up their cross and they go someplace else because it was never this, it was always what? Gimme. And they're happy with the church as long as they get what? What they want. But as soon as they don't get what they want, they feel disappointed. They'll say things like, I feel empty, I feel unfed, I feel unfulfilled, I feel what? I'm not getting. And they'll literally say that, I'm not getting anything. Dude, love them. Love them. What's that mean? I'm giving myself for you. So what does a grumpy guy need? He doesn't need to get more. He needs to what? He needs to give. He needs to find the joy of sacrifice. So I'm going to have you stand up. We're going to do a little exercise. Okay? We've done this before, but I want you to do it. I want you to look at somebody near you and say, I love you. Okay, so enough of that. That's a little too warm right there. We're done with that. Okay, so now, if someone told you, I love you, I want you to look them right in the eye and say, how? And if it doesn't involve nails, here's how normally you're going to respond to that. You're going to say, I love you because, oh, you just bless me so much. You're such a great example to me because you just, I mean, every time I'm around you, I see Jesus. I'm going to tell you what, all those answers are wrong because that's adoration and praise. That's in a sense, an acknowledgement of good in them, but Jesus so loved the world, he praised us and applauded us and said, you guys are just so cool. Every time I see you, my heart just goes, ho, 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 so good. Is that what he did? No, he went where? He died. So the essence of agape love is when I say I love you, I'm telling you I am giving my life for you. So now answer the question how you're doing that. Ask the question again, how? And then I want you to hear that. It's a lot quieter all of a sudden. You can sit down. God wants you to know the joy of the Lord that remains, that cannot be taken away. He wants you to know the joy of giving. And we have to, and by the way, you can answer that question. I mean, honestly, you know, if you ask me, if I tell you I love you, I mean it. And if you turn to me and say, how, let's sit down, let me talk about it. I mean, seriously. There's probably not a person in this room that I mean, there's maybe a dozen or two people in this room, maybe not that many, that I haven't prayed for you every day for however many years, as long as you've been here. And I will continue to do that. I'm not bragging, I'm just telling you that if I didn't, that wouldn't be what? Who am I as a pastor to say I love you if I'm not going to pray for you? Right? I mean, I think that prayer is the universal love language of God for us as a body because I won't always be able to do acts of service, right? I'm 60 years old. I'm almost dead. I'm not going to be able to do much in the future, but I can pray all the way up to the end, right? I can do that. And so then, and you know what? We should be able to look and say, you know what? I know about your son, your daughter that needs Jesus. That's love, right? Bearing one another's burdens. Because what does it go on to say in Galatians 5 here? It's beautiful. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh, which is passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, that's what this whole thing is about. It's let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another. So again, if love's not there, what happens? It breaks down. It says on above here that if you, verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall what? The word there is near fellow, by the way, and you don't get any nearer than in the body of Christ. Verse 15 says, what happens if you don't? If you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed. What happens to getters? These things turn into teeth, right? Okay, so what's it goes on to say? Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass in your spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you be tempted. And then it says this, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Very simple stuff. You want to know what it is to know joy? Your joy, the fullness of joy, is directly linked to how many nails you live with every day. And at your revelation, are you looking forward to that, saying, oh God, what you are doing, present tense in my life, is going to be revealed. And when that comes big screen, it's going to be to the glory and the honor and the praise of Jesus Christ. Bring it on. Bring it on. I am not ashamed of the miracle of what Jesus Christ is doing in me. But you also can't fake that. You also can't fake that, can you? I want you to be ready. I want to present you, as Paul said to the Corinthian church, a chaste virgin to Christ, excited about your wedding day.
That's my desire as a pastor. I want to see you filled with the joy, knowing that the great next is right around the corner. And by the way, if you're young, I'm looking at Leong over here. The dude is like way young. But guess what? Every day that he gets to walk in Jesus is a day in which I get to celebrate with him, because I pray for him every day in eternal glory. Amen? Seize the day. Redeem the time. Do that which is going to bring glory to God. And you can look forward to the great next. Boom. I don't know how else to describe it. There's a reason he uses the word apocalypse. It's a boom. Crazy explosion. Or not. Or are you going to suffer great loss when your life is tried by fire? Shock waves of glory that will go on and bring praise to God forever. A whole lot of nothing. Weep. It says suffering great loss. By the way, that's written to Christians. Jeremiah talks about trading away the glory. Don't trade away your glory. So I want to encourage you today. There are some here today that need to begin this journey of glory. There's some here today that have never fully surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord. You need to know you're living a life like this whether you want to or not. You're trying to get from all these different things. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe there's a woman that you think, if I get her, I'll be okay. Maybe it's a guy. Maybe it's a job. But whatever it is, this is how you're defining joy, is what I can pull in. Maybe I can find that friend that I'm looking for. You need to go here, man. You need to give your life to Jesus. You need to start out by saying, it's not mine anymore. I can't get enough to fill this void. I need Jesus. I need to sacrifice my will, my want, my future, my dreams. I need to express publicly that Jesus Christ is the one and only Lord of my life. You need to come to him today. We're going to sing two songs in closing today. We're going to sing That Is an Opportunity for those that need to surrender. And then we're going to sing a song about joy. But my invitation to you as a Christian, if you're not looking forward with Christmas joy, with joy inexpressible and full of glory, because you know you're great next, oh, I would beg you to repent and redeem the time and ask God to show you what it is that brings him honor and glory and praise in the rest of today. I want you to lay your head on a pillow tonight knowing that you turned a corner and you chose to make your life about his glory. If you need to repent because it's just not, that's not, you can't honestly say you're looking forward to that. Now's a really good time to start storing up for yourself an eternal weight of glory. Don't waste your life. Because the joy of getting, y'all know that ain't going to do it, right? Christians really should know that. It's a beautiful joy of this. Beg God for more nails. He'll give them to you. I want to sing this song in closing. It's an invitation, though. Very simple invitation to surrender. That's a sacred moment. I want Christians to pray the glory of God, the power of God would move. Because some people today are still held in bondage. You are not a child of God yet. You can't fill that void without surrendering to Jesus Christ as Lord. And so he's asked us as a church to pause and pray for you, that you'll respond. You'll get up. You'll come forward. You'll come forward not just to me, but to Jesus Christ. And you'll say, Lord, I need to give my life to you. I can't get enough to fill this void. I need Jesus. If that's your heart today, as we're singing this song, it's a prayer. Here's my life. Amen. I'm going to have the music team come and lead us. There's a very, I just love this Christmas song. But it's about joy, obviously. And amen. I just want to take this minute, though, to encourage you. If the Lord is speaking to your heart and you know you need to surrender to him, but you're just kind of frozen, I want you to do one thing to break the ice. I want you to tell somebody about it. Tell somebody you know that's surrendered to Christ, somebody that you know is already a Christian. Tell them, oh, I got this war going on in me. Tell them. Just voicing the war will start to break the enemy's bonds in your life, and you'll be able
to then start moving forward. I want to encourage you to do that. We're going to sing this song about joy. Before we do, I want to remind you of a couple words last week. Actually, 2 weeks ago, when I asked you, how are you? What are you supposed to say?
Beautiful.
Why? Because he's giving us what? He's giving us what? Yes. The oil of joy for mourning. He's giving me beauty for ashes. So sometimes we're here, but for some reason we got this habitual sadness that we're supposed to be in because after all, I am what? In my old days, I would say I'm a Baptist. So I'm supposed to be this way. The scripture says this, awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion, and the joy of the Lord is my what? It's my strength. Put on your beautiful garments. It even says that your feet are beautiful before God. And then it says this, shake yourself from the dust. Sometimes we live in the identity of our old ashes. What do you got to do? Stand up and shake it off. Do it right now. I mean, shake it off. Stand up and shake it off. I mean, seriously, you got to get rid of that. You know what the next two words of that passage are? Sit down. No, don't. I'm just kidding. It is true, but we got to stand up because we got to sing the song. So you can sit down later. But seriously, it says, shake yourself from the dust, arise. And then it says, sit down. I don't understand that myself. I know the stand up part's good because you got to leave what behind? The old man. I am not who I used to be. You have been given beauty for ashes, and you have something to rejoice in. If honor, praise, and glory are coming from your nails. Rejoice in that. I have a lot of beloved brothers and sisters who live sacrificial lives every day. I am so looking forward to the day of your big screen. You need to be happy about it too. So let's sing this.